Thank you, guys. James, you guys, thanks, sir. It's been wonderful to kayer with you. It's like family. It's amazing. God is so good. It's just amazing how, even just for us going to India, we meet Christians we've never met before, and somehow you just feel really close. You feel like family because of your love for the Lord. That's amazing. And so I want to thank you guys. I just realized this morning again, it's such an honor to walk this journey with so many of you that are so faithful, so passionate about God. You know, the guys who, you know, you guys that join us in the mornings, 8:15 every Sunday. It means so much to me. The guys that came to the men's camp was amazing, just being with you. I just really want to say I did not orchestrate the mud fight. That wasn't me. It was, I promise you. I'm completely innocent. I think it was Rion. He pushed me. He pushed me. But that was good. We must do more mud fights. I know if you weren't there, you won't understand, but it's awesome. It really is. You're running around as if somebody's going to kill you, and then they throw the mud, and it just spots you a little bit, then you and then you pick it up again, and then you retaliate. It was amazing. It was good fun. And sometimes we must just have some fun. So God is good. God is faithful. And so I have something on my heart this morning I want to speak to you about. I want to speak to you about the King of Glory, and specifically about Christ in us. And it's sort of something I've been wrestling the last few days and last week or so. It's like I've got this holy, almost anger inside. It's like something is just, I'm not satisfied with the status quo. I'm not satisfied with what is. I'm saying, God, there's more. You know, and when I speak to Christians and I speak to people all over, then I often hear people battling. They're struggling, you know. People at work, you know, challenging boss or circumstances or business not prospering or just making it or not making it at all, moving backward. People struggling financially, maybe relationally, you know, marriages battling or relationships breaking down. And then often when I speak to people, they seem despondent and, you know, not encouraged and don't know how we're going to sort this out. And it's part of life, you know. Challenges of life. It's part of life. It happens. But I'm thinking, God, when I read the scriptures, there's so much more. It's like I'm reading the scriptures and I'm looking at life and then, God, there's this gap. There's this disconnect. There's so much more. I'm thinking, is that what it's about? You know, Christians suffering, you know, picking up your cross, just trying to survive. Whew, just made another day. Wow. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. You're amazing. You're so powerful. I made it. I survived another day. You know, I'm thinking, you know, that's not, you know, survival. For some, the term Christian is survive till Jesus comes back. That's some people living like that. Others think Christian is being, you know, enjoy the pleasures of life, but don't expect too much from God. Don't expect too much. You know, you might say, I've tried it. Andre, I stepped out. I tried this full-on Jesus thing. It backfired. Stuff it, okay? I'm just going to chill. I'm coming to church. I'm reading my Bible once a week. And I have no expectations. Maybe you're there. I don't know. If I have to tell you how many times stuff has blown up in my face pursuing the Lord, you'll be shocked. But praise God, He wired me to keep on. My name means perseverance. That's what the spiritual connotation of my name. So yeah, we run full speed into the wall. Bah, okay, whoa, okay, let's do this again. You know, Now, if you run into the same wall, that's stupid, okay? I normally ask my wife, I normally don't run into the same wall. I run into a different wall as I'm trying to pursue the Lord. If you run into the same wall, that's just stupid, okay? Don't do that. But, you know, this picture of, you know, we have a little island, and we're being attacked by this massive onslaught of the enemy. Enemy forces have surrounded us, and we're just going to hold on to our little island until Jesus comes back, you know? Survival. I'm reading the scriptures, I'm reading the Word of God. That is not what I see in the Bible. That's not what I see in the Bible. That's not the will of God. Go read the book of Ephesians. It's glorious. It's like mind-boggling glorious, being seated with Christ in the heavenlies. It has amazing truths that the Lord reveals to us through the Word of God. But I think some of us, we've sort of let go. We've let go of really trusting God. I'm thinking, even this morning I'm praying, I'm thinking, Jesus, you said, go into all the nations. Make disciples of the nations. And and we're just trying to get over some small stuff, you know. It's like, nations, and can't even do this, you know. Oh, God, there's more. There's victory in you. There's victory in you. And I want to encourage you. I don't want to tell you all you're bad. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is whatever you're facing, whatever challenge you are facing, there is grace from God to overcome that. You are more. We are more than conquerors. Whatever challenge you might be facing, we are more than conquerors. You see, the main problem is, as I was just praying this week, and I just felt the Lord saying, the main problem is that people are okay with it. Your issue isn't that you're battling. Your issue isn't that you're in survival mode. Your problem is, it's okay for you. It shouldn't be okay for you. Because you can't get out of survival mode if it's just okay. It's okay. Don't expect too much. Just go through life. Read my Bible once a week. You know, God's good. Looking after myself. My family's okay. You've got issues? Sorry to hear that, man. That's life, you know. And I am frustrated in a good way. I'm saying, God, you know, the people in this church must flourish. The people in this church must flourish. You must overcome. You must be more than a conqueror. That is biblical. That is scriptural. That is the will of God. And Lord, we're pursuing it. That is my passion. I want to see people raised up into the fullness of God. The fullness of God. That's when my life becomes a success. Don't be okay with just surviving. Don't be okay. Don't be okay. It's like this word I felt the Lord laid on my heart, that divorce will be unheard of in our midst. I'm saying, yes, Lord. Yes, relationships will flourish in Jesus' name. It's God's heart. It's God's heart. And so there's this Jehovah, the Lord, our banner. The Lord, our banner. I'm going to share with you in a moment about the tabernacle or the altar that Moses made. But then after the Lord gave him the victory, he said, the Lord, our banner, the Lord, our victor, the Lord, our captain. And I was thinking about this thing about a banner, this banner. You know, it's like a brand. When I say Christian, what do you think? When I say All Blacks, what do you think? You think they're clapping somebody somewhere, man. That's just who they are. That's their brand. Or Roger Federer at his peak. You're thinking tennis. You're thinking somebody's going to get wiped off that court today. So imagine this. You're playing tennis. And it's some serious opposition. You are intimidated out of your life. And then the spirit of Roger Federer comes upon you. I mean, the whole deal. It's like speed, agility, skill, power, aggression. It's all, it's me. Will you be intimidated? No, you're going to think, come on, come on, let's do this. I'm going to take you out. Do you know that's extremely, extremely biblical, although a little bit weird? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Imagine Jesus Christ, the King of glory, the Lord of heaven, the one who healed thousands, every devil ran away, multitudes of lives transformed. The Pharisees said, as you say, he's different. He speaks with authority. He's different. Imagine him possessing you. Imagine the Lord of glory, the King of glory filling you. It's no longer you, it's him through you. You. I'm saying, Jesus, I want that. Theologically speaking, it's true. But it shouldn't just be a theology, it should be a present reality. It should be a present reality. It should be Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not one day glory, now glory. Now the presence of God glory. Christ in us. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This mystery has been hidden for ages. Nobody knew until God came to reveal it. The Lord of victory. He comes and he lives in us. When I read a quote from a guy called Francis, I don't know how you say his surname. Frangipane, I don't know, clue how you say his surname. But it's okay, Jesus is still on his throne, hallelujah. But he says, even now, abiding within our spirits, deeper and more profound than our church doctrines, is the actual Spirit of Christ. The consequence of this union of Christ's Spirit with our spirits expands the original seven creation days into the eighth day. We are now new creatures in a new creation. In this new beginning to God's eternal plan, Jesus Christ is the firstborn of a new race of men. He is the firstborn. And when you and I become born again, we also become new creatures, a new race of men and women. Ones who are filled with God, Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is the answer to, I believe, all your problems. Every challenge you face, Christ in us, the hope of glory. A present reality, that's God's heart. So why are so many battling? Why are many Christians experiencing so little victory? I want to sort of reveal to you a few reasons I believe why. And I want to give you a few keys on how to step into that place where Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I want to take you to Old Testament account in Exodus 17. The Israelites, they now just come out of Egypt. They were merrily following God on the way to the promised land. And then the Amalekites. Exodus 17:8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. So you were in Egypt. You were far away from the Lord, far away from Christ. You didn't have a relationship with God. You become born again, baptized through the Red Sea. Proverbially speaking, spiritually speaking, and now you're on your way to the promised land. You've all these promises. Yes, I'm a Christian. It's good. And then suddenly you have this distraction from the side, this massive army attacking you. That's sort of a normal Christian experience. Eh? You thought it's going to be easy. No, not easy. There is a war. A war breaks out. And yet the Lord gives them the victory. And then at the end, Moses builds an altar and he says, the Lord my victor, the Lord, my banner, and so the name of God, the Lord, my captain. Okay, so that's the end. I want to take you through that story quickly. Powerful, powerful account of the power of God. It's actually, for me, an image of the spiritual realities around us. Exodus 17, verse 9. It says, and Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go fight fight with Amalek. Okay, so first rule there, do you have to fight? Yep, go and fight. There's things to fight about, worth fighting for. But then Moses says, tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So you go and fight. I will go to the top of the hill and I will have the rod of God in my hand. I will have the power of God in my hand. And verse 10 says, so Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Fascinating. Fascinating. So there's these two armies battling. The Israelites, the Amalekites, three guys on a hill, one guy with his hands in the air. And when his hands are in the air, their team is winning. When the hands are down, they're losing. Maybe this is a word for all the rugby players. We must get a few guys next to the field. Come on, boys. Go, Ruan. Go, Neil. We have a few rugby players in our midst. So we will support them in the name of Jesus. It's a good excuse to support rugby. Okay. But this man was standing, Moses was standing on the hilltop, and when his hands were up in the air, the Israelites won. If his hands were not in the air, the Israelites were losing. So what does that speak of? So Moses was saying to Joshua, now, you guys, you go and fight. You take the men out, choose your guys, you go in, out and fight, but I will be going onto the top of the hill. Do you know what that speaks to me of? It speaks of being seated in the heavenlies. Speaks of being seated in the heavenlies. There's a place where you and I need to go and take up a place in the Spirit, a place of authority, so that we can win the victory on the ground floor. The heavenly speaks of the spiritual atmosphere over a place. Moses took up a place of authority, the heavenlies. I believe, if you look at the scripture specifically, New Testament, there are it spoke of Jesus being lifted up into the heavenlies, seated at the right hand of the Father, far above every principality and every power of the air. And then it says, but we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. I believe there's a heavenlies over every aspect of our lives. At work, at your business, there's a heavenlies. There's a spiritual atmosphere. Who's reigning there? At home, there's a spiritual atmosphere. The heavenlies over your home. Who's reigning there? Your marriage. Who's reigning there? Or wherever else, at school. What? Who's reigning in the heavenlies? Are you abdicating responsibility? Is it just passively, you're going down, you're fighting your battles, you're there in the valley, it's happening, it's a mano, you're doing your thing, it's like really going for it. But who's on the hilltop? Who's on the hilltop? The Lord's really speaking to me about this. Who is on the hilltop? Because you see, it's the same two armies. Same two armies, they're fighting. The only difference between winning and losing is whose hands are being raised on the hilltop. Only difference. So you can have a situation, same business, same marriage, same people, same relationships, but they are losing. Why? Because the spiritual atmosphere, the question is who's reigning? Who's reigning on the hilltop? Who's reigning on the hilltop? That's the difference. The only difference is the one that is standing on the hilltop. If you and I reign on that hilltop in the name of Jesus Christ, we will win. Because we access the supernatural power of God. For your business, for your workplace, for your finances, for your marriage, for your personal health and emotional health. There's a place we need to take up. The scriptures say our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age. And I'm just being provoked in the sense, I'm saying, well, who is reigning? Who is reigning? Are we taking up our place? Are we standing on the hill? So how do we do that? How do we ascend the hill of the Lord? Psalm 24, 3-6, James read it last night. The question, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may ascend? Who may go up this hill to take up his place of authority? Who? Who may stand in his holy place? I feel that some of us are battling and losing in certain areas of our lives, and we're trying to fix it in the natural. You're trying to just fight harder. Or maybe you're running away. I don't know. But the key is to take up your place in the Spirit so that the victory can come. So who can go there? It says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him. After this men's camp, I was just so hungry for God. I just wanted to lock myself in a room for 2 days and just spend time with him. You know, I just want to get into the Word. I'm just, God, it's just such a hunger in me. I trust in all of us, this hunger will, we need to seek him. That's the fun. God, we want you. We want you. On Wednesday night, we were just praying, some of the worship guys were praying together, and I think it was Dion saw a vision or a picture. He saw the sun, and then he saw a spaceship, and he saw the spaceship moving into the sun, being pulled into the sun by the gravitational force of the sun. You know, our God is a consuming fire. He's a consuming fire, and he's the sun. He's awesome. And you and me, we're like little spaceships, doing turbo boost and doing a bit of fun. And some of us are like crazy trying to stay away from the fire. We have boosters on. No, I don't want to go there. I want to have control. I don't want to give in to the consuming fire. I don't want to surrender all. No, boosters, come on. Get away. And I was just, oh, that's beautiful. It represents the picture of complete surrender, being engulfed in the very presence of God. You know, the gravitational force of the sun, it's working, it's pulling. God is pulling each of us. He's pulling us closer. You need to surrender. You and I need to surrender to him and just say, God, consume me. You know, before Jesus went to the cross, we would die. But now, because of the blood of Christ, we can just come and surrender. We can enter his manifest presence. Don't try and keep a safe distance. No, I don't want to be too radical, man. I don't want to be weird. Christian equals weird, man. Come on. It's part of the game. You're weird. You're not from this place. You're a sojourner. Home is heaven. You are weird. Make a peace with it. Okay. Get over it. It's awesome. It's awesome to be weird and to have the Lord of heaven and earth back you. That's awesome. Surrender to that consuming fire. But then it says, clean hands, pure heart, not lifted up his soul to an idol. Clean hands, no blatant sinfulness. It's like Jimmy posted on Facebook, guys, don't porn again, be born again. Absolutely. Amen and amen and amen. Don't think you can have an intimate relationship with God and defile yourself with rubbish like that. Ladies, I've heard of a book called 50 Shades of Grey. Yes, my thinking exactly. It's porn for ladies, okay? It's a fictional book. It is lustful. It is not of the Lord. It defiles you. It opens you to adultery. Stay away from it. Honestly. You cannot have an intimate relationship with God and have unclean hands representing defilement. And then it says pure heart. Pure heart. Pure motivation. I shared this with the guys. Imagine approaching the king. He's on his throne. I mean, king of like a massive empire, the Persian Empire. I mean, he can just point his finger and you're gone. Imagine this king being able to read your mind as you approach his throne. So you're saying, oh, my king, you are wonderful. In your head, you're thinking, old geezer, I'm going to use you. God can read your heart. He sees what's happening in your thoughts. So when we approach him with insincerity, where we just want to use him and we're not coming for him, it's called an impure heart. And God says, sorry, you can't get into my presence. You cannot ascend this hill. You cannot ascend the hill. You must surrender the impurities. Then it says, not lifted up his soul to an idol. We've been speaking about idolatry the last month or so. Oh, it's Anah. The Lord's working my sock. It's amazing when you think, God, I've got nothing left to give. And then there's more. There's more. You see, we lie to ourselves so easily. And that's why we need to come to the light, come to the fire of God, come to the presence of God. Because when his light shines, then we see. Okay. We need to deal with that. Idolatry, when other stuff is more important, then we can't wholeheartedly come. And like Sonika shared, and we've about the finances, I think that's our biggest test. Mammon. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You need to let go of the money if you want to have the wholeness of God, the fullness of God in our lives. Challenging, yes, but the reward, and that's just where I'm at currently. I said, God, anything, just take it. I want you. Whatever you want, God, I just want you. I want you. I want to get into that sun. Consuming fire, that song, all consuming fire. Yes, I want to sing that. Oh, I just want you. Where are you at? Do you want more of God? Is that your ultimate passion? If not, just ask him. Say, God, help me. I want that. You see, the battle is not out there or even in the weird or far off spiritual, whatever. Your battle is right over here in your mind and in your heart. When this is surrendered to God, you get everything else. Everything else. So sometimes we say, God, I want more of you. But sometimes it should just be, God, I'm giving you more of me. Surrendering more. And then I'm not talking about perfection. Because sometimes we think, oh, I must be perfect before I can come. It's not perfection. You cannot become holy by the works of the flesh. You can only become holy by the power of grace. So you come to the Lord and say, okay, God, it's me. Thank you for everything you've provided for me. I am approaching you. I want to ascend the hill. I want to come to you. It's not perfection. It's by the power of his grace. You cannot do this in your own ability. Okay, so that's just the first one. Ascend the hill of the Lord, okay? Then secondly, Moses ascended the hill. And then he was raising his hands. He was raising his hands. Ascending the hill for me speaks of a daily approaching God. Do you have a quiet time? It's a bad word probably to use, but I mean, you probably understand. Do you have a devotional time with God every morning, a daily one? Do you have, before you enter the battlefield of life, have you gone up the hill? Have you met with God? Have you taken up your place of authority in him? Have you? I think many people, they just do, hey, you know, just go through the motions and you wonder why you're battling. So the first one is, you know, put out that time. Put out that time with God. Approach, you must get on top of the hill. Stand on the hill. Okay, let's say that. Stand on the hill. I'm getting hot. Aircon, please. Come on, Yvette, you can do it. Just put it on me. Put it on me. Then the other people suffer. So the first one is, and I want to ask you directly, clear, you must answer this. Are you standing on the hill every day? Do you have a daily, not just a devotional time, not just going through the motions? Are you meeting with God? Are you pressing in? On Wednesday, I saw this picture. I saw two pictures as we were praying. The first one I saw... It was lower down, and I saw like a bunch of us trying to prepare a banquet. I saw like, you know, there's this huge banquet, all the tables, all the cutlery, trying to get everything out, and it's not working, it's not happening, we don't have enough time, and we're getting tired. And the next scene, I saw a higher level. I saw a closet. I saw myself getting into a closet, like a Narnia closet. I saw myself getting into this closet, and when I opened the other side, this huge banquet was fully set. Everything set out, and I actually felt God standing there, Jesus as the servant standing and saying, come and sit. It's all been prepared. Eat and enjoy. And that so spoke to me, because I feel so many of us are on the lower levels. We've not ascended the hill of the Lord. We're on the lower levels, and we're going through the motions. We try. It's not working. Then there's another place called the prayer closet. Let's say that prayer closet. The prayer closet, where you step into that space, into that place where you ascend the hill of the Lord, and then you raise your hands like Moses did. And then God supernaturally does whatever needs to be done. The banquet is set. Everything is done for you. Many Christians are trying to do it themselves. I've been there. I've done ministry like that for years. Striving, battling, wrestling. Little fruit. Then there's a better way. God, I'm just coming into you. I'm just coming to step into my place of authority. I'm coming to lift my hands, raise my hands. What does that speak of? I believe that speaks for me of actively pursuing God. How do you read the scriptures? What I feel like today. Psalm 23. Okay. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. It feels so good. So you get up, you've read your 5 minutes, you've done your duty, tick, and you go off, and the enemy slaughters you. There's a better way. Better way is you come to the Word of God and you say, wow, this is the Word of God. The same God that when He spoke, there was light. All the stars of heaven was made when He spoke. His Word is alive. It's powerful. His Word feeds me. His Word transforms me. His Word builds up my faith. God, I'm coming with expectation to Your Word today. Lord, and you're reading it with that expectation of it building up you on the inside, building up your faith. And then if something speaks to you, you write it down. Or you're like, I do. I put it on my tab or my phone. I have like scores of scriptures that speaks to me. And then during the day or the following days, I'm meditating on that. I'm proclaiming it. I'm more than a conqueror. All things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. And I didn't get that. Then you say it again. All things. Come on. And so you wrestle with it until you lift your hands. You lift your hands. You know, imagine how Moses and Aaron and Hur, they went up into the mountaintop. Guys are doing like a warfare. Aaron, where's that tea, man? Come on, tea. So they all sit lucka back. They have their little tea. They're on the hilltop. They're there. They're ready. They could now, things could now happen. But they're having their tea and they're chilling and the army gets slaughtered. There's a reason why we go up to the hilltops. There's a purpose. We do not pursue the presence of God just for a nice experience, although it is nice. We go up to the hilltops because then we take up our place and now we say, God, let your kingdom come. Lord, let your will be done. You need to actively pursue God. You cannot do the 5-minute scripture thing, nothing, expecting nothing, messing around thing. You need to press in. And some of us, you get up in the mornings trying to do your devotions. You think, I'm going to lie back a little bit. It's cold, man. It's cold. And so you lie back and you... And then you go for it. You sleep for Jesus. But it's not the time to sleep for Jesus. It's time to go up onto the hill and to lift your hands and say, God, I'm here. So get up, man, and walk around. Yes, come on. Jesus, I bless you. You are good. You are good. You're faithful. You put up worship CD. You worship and you put up a shofar band CD. Oh, Jesus is anointed. And you go for it. The enemy will kill you if you don't go up onto the mountaintop and you lift your hands, actively pursuing the face of God. You have to. I promise you, people, I'm dead. I'm a zero on the contract if I don't do this. I have got nothing to offer anybody. Are you going onto that hilltop? Are you actively pursuing God? And then for some of us, we think, oh, I haven't had that experience yet. I haven't done it yet. God hasn't appeared. I've only seen two angels. I haven't seen the fifth angel. You know, so I'm just going to keep on waiting. You know, one day, God, one day. No, you have his word. You have what he put in your hands with Moses, with a staff in his hands. He lifted his hands and God moved. You have sufficient grace for the next step of obedience. You have sufficient grace for the next step of obedience. God has given you all you need for that next step. Not for next year maybe, but for the next step. You have what it takes. You have what it takes. Just believe his word. Receive his word and believe it. Take him at his word. God, you've said these signs will follow those who believe. Thank you, Jesus. Step out. God has given you everything you need. Are you doing a daily ascent? Is it one of those old songs, James? We're going up to the high places. Yeah, that's Gees, man. Come on. That's like good old days. I remember that was like foundational stuff. That's awesome. So are you actively pressing into God? And then just ending off with this. Verse 12. Exodus 17, 12. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him. So he sat on the stone. I believe that's just, the rock always represents Christ. Okay, God, I can't do this. I need you. I can't do this. I can't pray for more than 10 minutes, Lord. You know. Please help me. Lean into the Lord and say, God, help me. And then it says, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and they won. Moses, the man of God, needed help. You deceive yourself if you think you can walk this journey alone. I promise you, you're deceived. You cannot, I cannot, I need people around me. My wife needs people. We need help. And nobody can force help onto you. You must go to somebody and say, help. I'm down and out. I'm battling. Some time ago, somebody spoke to me. Desperate because of pornography in their lives. And it's been going on for months and months. Nobody knows, but this person knows this is not good. Somebody in ministry, somebody pastoring a church, and desperate. He knows it. He's a hypocrite. He knows he needs to sort this out. Don't be a hypocrite. Speak to somebody. Tell them, I am desperate. I need help. I need to sort this out. I need somebody to steady my hands. And so I want to encourage you from the depth of my heart. The ball is in your hands. You need to decide, I'm going to surround myself with good Christian people. You need to decide, I'm going to go to the cell group, to the small group. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to share my heart. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be honest. I need help. I'm going to speak to somebody after cell, somebody that I have sort of a relationship with. I'm going to share with them. I'm battling. Don't be a hypocrite. You cannot ascend the hill of the Lord when sin is in the dark. Deal with it. So leaning on others. And then last verse, 1 John 4 verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Yo, that's good, huh? Have overcome them. Not going to overcome. You have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. As I shared, like a Roger Federer stepping into you. When Jesus Christ steps into you, are you going to battle with sin? Oh, I can't do it. God, I'm here. Let me live through you. when he lives through us, there is no limit to what is possible. If he, Christ in us, the hope of glory, oh, that's so my desire. I'm saying, God, you know, when we lay hands on the sick, everyone healed. When we pray for this, let it happen. Jesus, just come and live through us. Come and live through us. Greater, say greater. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Should be more than a good theology. It should be a present reality. And the ball is in your hands. Are you going to ascend the hill? Are you going to pursue him? Are you part of the generation that hungers and thirsts for him? Or are you just going to allow the world to fill you so there's no capacity more for God? As we spoke to the guys, I was amazed over the weekend. We had small groups. We broke into groups and we just chatted about stuff. And it was amazing to hear when we asked, okay, so what's, are you spending time with the Lord? No. Are you, why not? What do you do with your time? Well, News 24, iPad, games, TV, movies, etc., 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 etc. Okay, so what are you going to do? You're going to change something. You're going to make time for the Lord. Yes, we are. And the guys was amazing. I mean, they wrote down these papers, put it on the cross. They laid down stuff. So all the guys that were there, remember your commitments. Remember and ask the Lord to help you. Just do it. Get the rubbish out and pursue the Lord with everything within you. Just want to read this again from Francis. He said, our salvation is nothing less than the perfect one dwelling in imperfect ones. The Almighty abiding in the feeble. The all-sufficient God dwelling among insufficient people. This is the mystery and the glory of our salvation. Christ in his completeness has extended himself into our lives. Christ in his completeness has extended himself into ourselves. The Almighty into the feeble. The all-sufficient into the insufficient. Should we win? Should we live victorious lives? Absolutely. Should we have lack? No way. Next week, I want to speak to you about the Lord, our provider. Entering the supernatural provision of God. God is our provider. But the all-sufficient one living in us. Believe it. Let's say it. This is for me. Christ in me. The hope of glory. Hallelujah. So to summarize, stand on the hill, daily take up your place. Raise your hands, actively press into God. Don't snore while you do it. Lean on others. You cannot make it alone. Speak to somebody. Just say, I need help. I desperately need help. Make a commitment. I will ascend the hill of the Lord every day. That's my challenge to you. That is my challenge to you. I will ascend the hill of the Lord every day. Please stand with me. I just want to pray for us. Oh God, may we be a generation who seek your face. May we pursue not just a good theology, but a present reality. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us that helps us to overcome sin. Christ in us that helps us to overcome intimidation. Christ in us that helps us to overcome every obstacle, every challenge. Lord, nothing is too big for you. Nothing is too challenging for you. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you, Lord, and we ask that this would become a present reality in our lives. A present reality in each of our lives. God, we bless your name. We bless your name. Lord, we declare you are the all-consuming fire. And we want you to consume everything that's not of you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let's say that. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Say that again. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Again, Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what we long for, Lord. Just as our eyes are closed, if you find yourself this morning in a place where you can honestly say, well, I don't really ascend that hill ever. I'm down there in the valley. I don't ever ascend that hill, and I really want to. I really want a breakthrough in my life. I want that. I want Christ in me. If that is you, just raise your hand. You're saying, God, I really want that. Thank you, Jesus. There's quite a few hands, so if you just feel free to raise your hand. It starts off with saying, God, I repent, I change my ways, help me, and then you start going for it. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for each one here, specifically those who've raised their hands. And Lord, we thank you for a supernatural breakthrough in them, God. Grace to turn off the TV. Grace to get up early. Grace to spend time with you. Grace, empowerment to ascend the hill of the Lord with everything within them. So God, we just release that over them right now. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for those whose hands are unclean, whose hearts are impure, who've got idols in their lives, God, that you'll just lead them to a place of freedom, cleansing and washing. It's all found in Christ. It's all found in Christ. And so Lord, as a church, God, we declare we want to be a generation that seek you with everything within us. We are hungry. We are thirsty. We are so tired of the rubbish of this world. We want Christ in us, the hope of glory. You can drop your hands again. I just feel I need to challenge you. I just feel that's what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. To commit to the Lord to every day. Set out time to spend with him. Now, if you miss a day or two, please, you're not going to die. It's okay. Okay, but it's a general rule. Lord, I commit to make an effort to ascend the hill. Would you do that? If you want to, if you're willing to make that commitment, that intention, Lord, I'm going to ascend the hill of the Lord by your grace every day. My commitment. Would you raise your hands as a commitment before God that you're taking it serious? Hallelujah. Just pray the following prayer and say, Father God, I thank you for the glorious mystery of Christ in me. The hope of glory. Lord, I believe it's for me, that it should be and will be a present reality. So, Lord, I ask, give me grace, empower me to ascend that hill every day and to lift my hands and to actively pursue you and take up my place in the heavenlies to the glory of God. And Lord, I ask, help me to speak when I need help. In Jesus' name, give me the grace to go to somebody to tell them when I am in need. In Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I declare Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah.